Okay, ladies and gentlemen, last week we spoke about adoption. We spoke about when a couple does not have children and then they adopt children, and we went through all of those issues. And one of the big issues that comes up in the topic of adoption is the sugya of ger katan, is the halachos of converting a child to Judaism. And what I'd like to do with you tonight is kind of tie up a few loose ends that we didn't yet discuss in the sugya of ger katan. It happens to be a really enjoyable sugya. There are different types of gemaras. There are some gemaras that are enjoyable only after you spend like 2 weeks to finally understand what it's talking about. And then there are other gemaras that right when you open it up, you start to smile. Yeah, it's like fun right at the beginning. You know what I'm talking about? So ger katan is one of these gemaras that's just amazing right from the beginning. And let's just review this gemara about ger katan. We'll make a few points tonight. The points might be, or I shouldn't say might, the points will be totally disjointed. In other words, if you're looking for a connection between point one and point two, you ain't going to find it. We'll just make a few points anyway. Zak the gemara, Amrafunah. Ger katan matbilin oso al das bezdin. Ger katan, a child convert, you convert him with the das of a bezdin, right? With bezdin's knowledge. My kamashma was his teach us. That's his zechus. That it's considered a benefit for him. And zochin la'adam shalom b'funav. And I can do a benefit even without your consent. But we know that already. We know that I can do a benefit for you without your consent. Meaning to say, if I walk down the street and I see an item and I say, you know what, that item, that'd be great for Frida. It's like a Pittsburgh Pirates hat. It's going to be amazing, perfect for Frida. And I decide I'm picking it up on behalf of Frida. So the din is zochen la'adam shalom b'funav. You're not here, right? Because obviously you only find a Pittsburgh Pirates hat in Pittsburgh. I'm in Pittsburgh, you're not, right? But at the same time, it becomes yours. So the guy explains that I would have thought that over kochavim behefkeira nichalei, because an ever behefkeira nichalei. In other words, I would have thought that what? That it's not a zechus to be Jewish. To be Jewish, that's not a good thing. Tishver sezayin yid. Right? Judaism is difficult. That's the hava, I mean. That's what I would have thought. We say, kamash malon, hani mili gadol, the tam tam disurav, a katan zuchosulo. The Gemara says that, you know what, for a gadol, for someone who's already reached bar or bas mitzvah, so then we say, being Jewish is not a benefit, because they already enjoy their averis. But a katan, who hasn't enjoyed averos, so being Jewish is really a benefit. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yosef, Higdilu Yecholon Limchos. Once they grow up, they can protest. Meaning to say, that when the Ger Katan, right, or the Gioris Katana reaches majority age, becomes Bar Bas Mitzvah, they can protest and say, I want out of this Judaism. Now, let's talk about this for a few minutes, because this is one of the interesting parts of the sugya, and then we'll go back to the beginning of the Gemara about ger katan matbil noso daf bezdin, because it's a zechus. Higdilo, when you become majority age, then you can protest. What does it mean to be a gadol? How old is a gadol?
Bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah, right? Now, is there a concept of godless for non-Jews? Do non-Jews have bar mitzvahs? Now, in America, unfortunately, there are many non-Jews who stand on the bima and get bar mitzvahs. Right? They're products of intermarriage. That's not halachic. Yeah. Is there a concept of bar mitzvah for non-Jews? Or is there a concept of bas mitzvah for non-Jews?
Simonim.
What?
Simonim.
Usually we assume that to become bar bas mitzvah, you need two things. There are two components. There is an intellectual component, right? In other words, that kids become serious. Generally, kids at a, right, are not particularly serious, and you reach a certain age and you become serious. You become intellectually mature. And then there's also physical maturity, right? That's
right? The simanim, the biological maturity. Now, non-Jews, they might have intellectual maturity at some point, and they might have physical maturity at some point, but do they have this thing of 13 years or 12 years? The Rush writes in the Tshuva that how come bar mitzvahs at 13? I would have thought that bar mitzvah should be whenever I become physically mature and whenever I become intellectually mature, which I guess hasn't yet happened. But when is bar mitzvah? How come it's 13? Says the Rush, halacha lemoshe misinai. The Gemara at the beginning of Erevin and in Sukkah tells me that what? That shiurin, all the measurements, a kizayis, a kibetza, an ama, shiurin are halacha lemoshe misinai, says the Gemara. Zuck, the Rush in the Tshuva, included in shiurin being halacha lemoshe misinai, is that there's a din of bar mitzvah at 13, a bas mitzvah at 12. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if it's halacha lemoshe misinai, so it doesn't apply to non-Jews.
Why?
Halacha lemoshe misinai, because when Moses was at Mount Sinai, Moses was trying to give the Torah to the Jewish people. Those laws that are relevant for the non-Jews are sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. That's when beforehand. Halacha lemoshe misinai is Moshe at Har Sinai. That is Torah for Klal Yisrael. That's not for non-Jews.
But what if I need to, what if as a Jew, I need to know how to assess something to do with a non-Jew?
Oh, good kasha. I don't know. I don't know the answer. And maybe the answer might be that we don't really have assessment clear across the board, but we have to do it on a case-by-case basis.
I'm saying, why couldn't that be Halacha lemoshe misinai? Halacha lemoshe misinai is that if I, as a Jew, want to know whether a non-Jew is a grown-up or a child, I apply the shiur.
Because I think the halacha lemoshe misinai is formulated for Jews. Non-Jews aren't. You're saying that it's formulated for Jews, but kind of through the back door. That's your argument. That a Jew needs to assess a non-Jew's Jewish, a non-Jew's majority.
The kezias is not made for the cake. So the cake can decide whether it's enough to make a
bracha. It's made.
You decide whether the cake is a
bracha. I understand. So I need. But the Chassam Sofer assumes in the Tshuva that all shiurim are not formulated for B'nai Noach. And as such, I'll say it like this. You know, B'nai Noach, they have an Isser of Gezela, right? They can't steal. B'nai Yisrael have an Isser of Gezela. How much do I have to steal to be punished for the Isser of stealing? A Shava Pruta, right? The amount that's worth a small coin. And what about a non-Jew? How much does a non-Jew have to steal to be in violation of stealing? A Koshehu. Any tiny amount, no? Why? Zok the Rambam, Shalom Nitnu Shi'urim, Libnei Noach. What? A tiny amount. A pruta is a coin. What's the smallest coin? By the way, a pruta probably today is around a nickel. A penny isn't even a pruta. A nickel.
Inflation.
Right? The smallest, the Rambam gives us the amount of grains of barley in silver weight, etc. But shiurim are not given for B'nai Noach, says the Rambam. See, here also, B'nai Noach don't have the shiur. And if that's the case, so we have to question, what does Higdilu Yechon Limchos? And it could be really interesting, though, because at what age, usually we read the Gemara, you could protest at age 13 if you're a boy, 12 or if you're a girl. But since the issue is, are you Jewish or non-Jewish, so maybe the protest has to be, right, when I become biologically mature, intellectually mature, when's that? I don't know. Right? I have no idea. Or Leia. We could use that, but that's also a Jewish topic. Right? And for non-Jews, how old is a guy at bar mitzvah? Now, this is like something that you'd find in modern reform responsa or something. How old is the guyish child at bar mitzvah? Right?
They don't have bar mitzvah.
Well, they sort of do. But this Chassam Sofer, I think, is saying something that requires a lot of thought. What do you mean, higdilu yichon limchos? Right? When you become a god, you could protest. And what age is that? David, you want to fight me on this.
I thought that I remembered learning at some point that we only assume midrabanan that 13 and 12 are sufficient.
Yes.
Min
HaTorah, you need simanim plus shanim. We have Chazaka de Rabba, the Gemara says in Nida, that presumably, koshi higia l'chlal shanim higia l'chal simanim. Presumably, when you're 13, you have simanim. I have to admit, growing up, I lived in Far Rockaway Lawrence, and my pediatrician, I don't know if I should tell the story on tape, I'll say it anyway. My pediatrician was someone who had formerly been a Rebbe in the Yeshiva Far Rockaway, and then he became a doctor. He was a big Talmud Chacham who used to wake up seriously at 4 o'clock every morning, and he learned for a few hours, and then he worked as a doctor, a really good guy. So one kid in the class was very nervous. He wanted to know if he's really bar mitzvah or not. So he goes to Dr. Ryan, to ask Dr. Ryan if he's really bar mitzvah. And Dr. Ryan says, you know, listen, I'm examining you anyway. I'll make an inspection. I'll figure out if you're really bar mitzvah. And then afterwards, he wrote on a little document, right, Ani HaChosei Mat, he wrote like a whole shtar, to Udas Shin Sin, for Shtei Cyrus. And he wrote this out. And this kid had no idea. And he's like walking around, look what I got. It's like so exciting. Like, oh my gosh, who are you? Why are you doing this? It's a little weird. Yeah.
Why don't you use the newer case? More
universal, that's 20. Right, so why don't we use the definition of 20 is an interesting definition. 20 is considered godless even for Jews in terms of Omshim Bidei Shamayim, Misa Bidei Shamayim and stuff. Bezdin Shomata, right, will punish you from age 13. But if you're a Ben Noach, right, we don't have 13. So Ben Noach presumably needs just shanim on its own, and if that's the case, this Gemara really becomes hard to understand. What does it mean, higdilu yichon luchas? At what age can you protest? The Chassam Sofer deals with some of these issues. I'm just proposing it because, A, I think it's interesting, B, it's here. Let's go on. Now,
20 is the age of idleness and sorus, right?
20 is the age of idleness when you're higia, when you are hevi simane, hevi simane idleness. Right, an islandess is a woman who does not develop female the way women develop. There are certain types of women who have simane islandess, which means they have like a very deep voice, etc. Then you become halachically bas mitzvah at 20. If you have no simane islandess, so then it's rov shanim, which we assume is around 35. No?
Yeah.
Because most people are supposed to live to age 70, the Pasuk says. What? So 35 is majority of 70. Huh? Right, that's what we say on Shabbos. Let's go on. Now, Agir Katin Matbila Nosal Das Bezdin. Right? We immerse the person with the Das of Bezdin. We did not say that ger katin malin osal das bezdin. The Gemara never says that you circumcise based on bezdin. Why do you think we pick tevila rather than mila? There are two major components of becoming Jewish. Mila and there's a couple of mitzvos. But kabbalah osal mitzvos you can't have for a katan. Because kabbalah osal mitzvos requires knowledge, maturity, right? That's what you require. So you can't have that if you're a katan. So why, though, do we say tevila, not mila? There are a few possibilities. Anyone want to make a suggestion? Why do we say matbila no sa das bezdin rather than mala no sa das bezdin?
Yes, the street that holds that tevila can't be put. The tevila can't be put on mila.
So, tevila, whoa, everyone holds mila should be before tevila. There's a machlokas have you shown him, Tosfos and the Ramban. Let's say I reversed the order. Let's say I did it, right, backwards. But why would the Gemara say tevila, not mila? So, you might be getting at something.
I think you last week to that the tevila is quite required to das altogether.
So we do Kabbalah Omitzus at Tevila. We also try to do some sort of Kabbalah Omitzus at Namila as well. We try to do both, every aspect of Geiris. But the Gemara does say that the Hodas Mitzus is when you're in the Mikvah. So the answer might be because Tevila is like the Makabe Patish. That's the final part of making me a Jew. So we say matbimos al bas bezdin, meaning we make you Jewish based on bezdin, because the milah happened beforehand. Of course, the milah was done. Others suggest, interestingly, that matbimos al das bezdin is because there's a machlokes harishonim for what parts of the geirus process does bezdin have to be present. Tosis understands that you only need bezdin for kabbalas ol mitzvahs. The Rambam and the Rif assume that you need bezdin for all the aspects of making you Jewish, milah, tefillah, and kabbalas ol mitzvahs. One could argue that maybe, and I thought perhaps Rashi, a different Rashi that I didn't give you on the sheet, is meduyak this way, that maybe the idea of matbila nosa al das bezdin is because you don't need bezdin for milah. Bezdin is only required for tefillah. Perhaps that's what Rashi holds. But the answer that's given by many Rishonim is as follows, which is really interesting. The reason why Bezdin can take this kid and make the kid Jewish is because it's a zechus. It's a benefit. Tell me, do you think if someone gives you a milah, that's a benefit for you? Most people run away screaming, ah, right? I was not able to walk for like a year and a half afterwards. Right? Now, let's be honest. Right? Maybe less than a year and a half. I'm not sure. I have to ask my mother how slow I was in walking. But the fact is,
you don't even remember
that. I have no idea.
You didn't get the joke. He means no baby walking.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay.
But the fact is that one could argue that Mila is not a zechus because it hurts. The Rishonim say, for example, that we don't make a Shechiyanu at a bris, no? There are some who do make a Shechiyanu. Why don't we make a Shechiyanu? There's something called Sara de Yanuka. Now, by the way, this is important. You know, sometimes when people attack Mila, they say, oh, Mila, it's a barbaric act. It hurts the baby. And others say, no, what evidence is there that it hurts the baby? Well, the Rishonim, babies cry. You take off their diaper, they cry. Babies cry all the time.
Yeah, that doesn't
mean anything, right? The baby's crying. I don't know why. But the fact is the Rishonim do assume that there is some pain in Mila. There is Tzara de Yanuka. And that's also what the Rishonim are saying over here, that Matzibil no Sadas Bezin, not Mullen, because what? Because Mila is not a Zechus. Now, what that means is very interesting. That means the only way you could get a Ger Katan in some ways is if you did something wrong. Either you did Tevila before Mila, or you did a milah, even though you really weren't supposed to. It really wasn't a zechus, but you did it for him anyway. That is also worth thinking about. Next. We call tonight's shiur something to the effect of rabbinically Jewish. Can you be a Jew only rabbinically? The issue comes up as follows. Tosus asks a question. Matbilanos adas bezin. Tema, Tosus asks. Daha zechiya is mitam shlitas. Okay, this rule of zochin la'adam shalom b'fanav, I give you benefit even though you're not present. I could pick up an item, you're not here, and you've now become in possession of the Pittsburgh Pirates cap. So Tosus asks, the reason why that works, why zechiya works, is zechiya is mitam shlitas. Meaning to say, there's a concept in halacha of agency. I can appoint you to do something on my behalf. If it is zechiya, if it's something that benefits me, even though I didn't appoint you specifically, but it's implied that I appointed you. In other words, who would not want a beautiful Pittsburgh Pirates cap? Who wouldn't want it? Everyone would want it. Right? So if I pick it up for you, right? So it's, even though you didn't designate me, you didn't say, Rabbi Schwartz, be my agent, be my shaliach, pick it up for me, but it's ke'ilu, it's as if you did so. That's called zechiya mitam shlichus. Right? I can't act on your behalf unless you appoint me. But if something is really a benefit, we assume that you appointed me. So Tosus therefore asks Akasha, V'teima frektaisus. Does zechiya have a mitam shlichus? Dekeru zechus hu lo anan sahadi da'avid le shaliach. Since it's a benefit, anan sahadi. Anan sahadi means that we testify. We know that it's like you made me a shaliach. Like the Gemara Bava Metzia proves that zechiya is mitam shlichus. V'im kein, and if that's the case, hech zochin lekatin v'halo ein shlichus lekatin. Va'odakati obekol chavim hu. Va'amin al hasam dekatin asid shlichos es hizchi midrabanon. Obekol chavim dekatin asid chal shlichos afir zuchia midrabanon less like.
So Tosfos says, he says, I don't understand. How could you make this person Jewish based on zuchia? Zuchia is based on shlichos. A katin is excluded from shlichos. Ish, prat lakatin. A non-Jew is not included in shlichos. So Tosfos is asking a tremendous question. Tosfos says, one second, how can you become Jewish with ger katan? Now, there are some who answer that Beis Din does not really work as a shaliach. Beis Din, right, is not my agent to bring me into Judaism. They do it themselves. Right? That's really what Tosfos says in Sanhedrin, the underlined part. Tosfos in Sanhedrin asks the same question, and Tosfos answers, the Zechiyah de Geirus is not the same as other Zechiyos. The Mash Besma Bino so Enam Zochin ba'avuro, Elahu Zochin ba'atma ubigufo, Shenasa Geir, Nichas Tachas Kante Ashkino. Tosfos is saying like this, when I walk down the street and I see a Pittsburgh Pirates cap and I pick it up on your behalf, I am taking an item and now it becomes yours. That's classical Zechiyah. But when the Beis Din makes you Jewish, there's no item lying in the street called Jewishness that they're picking up for you. That's not the way it works. Beis Din is immersing you. They are making you Jewish. And you become Jewish yourself. We don't do it for you. That's Tosfos in Sanhedrin. But Tosfos in Ksubis says something tremendous. Tosfos in Ksubis writes, underlined parts, V'nira l'ri, dohachanami, Dezachin lo midrabonon, kid aminon hasam, de cotton isle zechia midrabonon. Va afagab da kati obiko chavim hu, ha osi lachlau shlichos. Soctosis. When we speak about ger cotton, you are not Jewish according to Torah law. You're only Jewish rabbinically. Now, this is a concept that requires a lot of thought. I'm Jewish midrabon and not midorat. How does that work?
How would you be?
And what do I do? Right? What do I do?
So Tosfos really works very hard on this question. And Tosfos asks, Im Tomar, how can you be a ger midrabonon? How can you get married? How can, right? What are you going to do? So Tosfos answers, our Gemara goes like the opinions that rabbis really have authority. There's a machlokas in Yevamos, whether rabbis have authority to uproot Torah law, b'kum ve'aseh. Can a rabbi say, you know what, do something against Torah law? Torah law says you can't get married because you're non-Jewish. Rabbis say, get married. We are making you Jewish rabbinically, get married. They are uprooting Torah law. Are they allowed to do that? It's a machlokas in Yevamos, and Tosfos says that the Gemara of Ger Katan is following the opinion that Yecholam Chachamim Lachar Davim Minatar B'Kum Ba'aseh. This means
we don't
pask in that way, and that means according to Tosfos, there's no such thing as Ger Katan. This whole thing that we spoke about last week about adopting a child and making him Jewish, according to Tosfos, it ain't true, because Tosfos is saying that you could only become Jewish rabbinically, and if I'm only a rabbinic Jew, so then how does that work? Well, it only works because the rabbis really have power to uproot Dinim Doraisa, right? One second. That means that we don't pask in the Ger Katan. That's what would emerge according to Tosfos. Tosfos and Sanhedrin would say that, no, the concept of Ger Katan exists because it's a different type of Zechiyah. But Tosfos and Ksubos hold that there's really la halacha no such thing as Ger Katan. Frida.
If you're opening the door here about the rabbis can uproot, blah, 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 why can't they fix it so women can give divorces?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You just said they could,
A few things. First of all, the rabbi, according to the opinion that Yecholam Chacham Lachar Davar Min HaTorah, that just means that they can uproot Torah laws, but not when the Torah explicitly says the opposite. In other words, if something is not black on white,
meaning it's sort of implied,
right?
You teased it out.
That's point one. And point two is we don't paskin that the rabbis can uproot Torah laws, right? They can uproot Torah laws b'shev ba'altase. No, the rabbis can tell me, don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos,
right? Notice they say, Shev va'altasa, sit back, don't do it. But they can't do it become ve'esei. Tosfos hearing Subas is saying that the way you have ger katan is that kum va'asei. The rabbis are telling me, go against Torah law. Hello? Yeah, right. Torah is given over to rabbis in terms of the rabbis have to interpret what the Torah says. But can the rabbi, if the Torah says, don't do this, can the rabbi say, do it? Probably not. Right? They can, right, the Torah, this is a tremendous tosis. Now, what emerges, do we paskin this way? The Bach has a comment that he thinks in every case of ger katan, at the time of your bar mitzvah, you should reconvene the bezdin and go to the mikvah again and become Jewish for real. Because maybe you're only rabbinically Jewish. What? So what about the bris? So do you need a hatavas dan bris again? That the Bach does not address, possibly. But what I would tell you is, here, look in the Shevet HaLevi. It's the bottom of the first page, on the top of the second page. V'asher sha'al odim choshoshim m'shitas habachin yeridea degeris adas bezdin dekaten eno elo midrabonon ule'inyane Torah kigon ishos kedai litbo old pan begad luso. And you should be toivel again. He doesn't speak about Mila again, you're right. So, says Rav Wozner, very half a line. Kim dumani, it appears to me, she'ain sugyasa olam kain. People don't do that. It appears to me that people don't do that. And normally what we do is we follow Tyson the Rishon, it's Minat Torah, that Yeshli Ola Ore, I have other points to raise, but I don't have time. Not exactly sure what he's saying, but basically he's saying that we treat you like you are a full-fledged Jew. You know why, probably? The why probably is because if you want to assume that you're only Jewish Midrabanan, and you could still get married, so you have to say that we're following this rejected opinion in Halacha. Now, it's worth noting, however, go back to Rashi at the beginning of the sugya. Ger katan apilos hadas bezdin. Rashi writes, three people should be there when you go to the mikvah, like all tefilas ger. Vehein na'asin lo'av. That's a very interesting line in Rashi. Rashi writes that the bezdin becomes like the father. Now, what Rashi probably means is that a father has a certain degree of ownership over his children. At least a non-Jewish father has ownership over his non-Jewish children to sell them to be avodim. And we're not going to go into this. This is like 15 cans of worms. And as such, a non-Jewish father can take his child and convert him to Jewishness, to Judaism. The Bezdin is acting in loco parentis. The Bezdin is acting to replace the father. This Rashi, by the way, is the source of a practice that if you are a ger and one of the members of your bezdin who converted you dies, the minig is that you set shiva. Isn't that an interesting practice?
For like what? Like basic?
Because hein na'asin lo'av. The bezdin, remember, a ger halachically doesn't have parents. The bezdin becomes like the parents. That's what Rashi says. Right? Now, let's just continue the Rashi. V'harehu ger ayudehen, and I become a convert. The katan becomes a convert through the bezdin. U'magao b'yayin kosher. And then Rashi says, if you touch wine, it's kosher. Now, why is Rashi talking about if you touch wine, it becomes kosher? Why is Rashi saying that? Now, one would argue, and maybe David Sidney is smiling and saying, oh, that's obvious, because Rashi is a winemaker, so he has wine on his mind all the time. So he's thinking, right, first of all, we don't know for sure that Rashi is a winemaker. It's a question. But I don't know. I don't know why does Rashi say, Magot B'yayin Kasher. But you know what I think Pshat and Rashi is? I think Rashi is specifically telling me examples that are Dzirabanan, not Dairaisa. Stam yenam. If a guy touches the wine, so the wine becomes treif, that's a din d'rabbana. Mid oraisa, if you pour wine and you say, for the avodah zara, blah, blah, and blah, the wine becomes treif. Mid d'rabbana, the wine becomes treif when it is touched by a guy. Rashi goes out of his way to tell me a d'rabbana case, because the din of ger katan, says Rashi, is relevant for drabonons, not for dairaisas. That, I think, is an interesting point
Tirei. See, I want to just go quickly a few other points within Ger Katan. When we speak about Higdilo Yecholim Limchos, when you become Bar Bas Mitzvah, so you can protest. What does that mean, that you can protest when you become Bar Bas Mitzvah? So, Tosfos, at the end of this Tosfos in Sanhedrin, the bottom of the first side of the page, Tosfos has a line that the Mila and the Tevila when I'm a katan helps. The only thing I'm missing is Kabbalah's mitzvos. Umitosha Godbu velo michu hainu Kabbalah. You see that line in Tosfos? Geulus usually involves three processes. Mila, Tevila, Kabbalah's on mitzvos. By the Ger Katan, how do you have Kabbalah's on mitzvos? Zok Tosfos, the Kabbalah's on mitzvos happens when what? When you become Bar Bas Mitzvah. The fact that you don't protest, that is like you're accepting. Right? This is a very Jewish concept. Not saying no is the same as saying yes. So no? Woody Allen pointed out, for a Jew, the definition of swimming is not drowning. Right? That's the yesod. Right? I'm not protesting, therefore, that's Kabbalah, so mitzvos. That's what it says in Tosfos. Now that would mean, by the way, a tremendous chiddush in Tosfos. A kid who was in my shiur, so he mentioned that around the time of his bar mitzvah, his rebbe comes over to him and says, "Oh, I heard that you were, you know, converted. You were adopted as a little baby and converted. Then you should know you could protest." And he has no idea what's going on. He's like, "No, I want to be Jewish." Fine. End of conversation. According to Tosfos, presumably you have to bring a bezd in there. According to Tosfos, you have to bring a bezd in, presumably. Why? Because the idea of the protest is that really I need Kabbalah's own mitzvos. If I don't accept mitzvos, I'm not Jewish. And acceptance of mitzvos requires acceptance of mitzvos in the presence of a bezden. So that's what should emerge according to Tosfos. Many Rishonim disagree with Tosfos. Many Rishonim assume that Higdilu Yecholim Limchos, how come you could back out? Well, if Ger Katan is the Rabbanan, I could back out. I'm only rabbinically Jewish. The rabbi said I could back out, no? So that's I have a bezdin present anyway. Maybe technically you don't need mumchen for geirus. Although I was reading today a tshuva of Moshe Sternbach who argues that even the usual geirus doesn't need a mumchen, but ger katan does, because since it's al das bezdin, it has to be a bezdin that really has das. That's his argument, and das means that you really know a lot of Torah. Now, I don't know if all of that is compelling, but it was interesting. Now, there is a discussion. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that at the child's bar mitzvah, you have to tell him as follows. Yanko Shmero Getzel, that's his name, obviously. You should know that you were converted as a baby, and you should also know that you have a right to protest if you so desire, and to leave Judaism. That's what we have to tell him. You have to give him the whole bit of information. You don't have to say, "Oh, do you want to be Jewish?" You have to tell him the whole information. By the way, you could back out. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva. You tell him at his bar mitzvah, you could back out if you want to.
Maybe you should give him this information like a month or so.
So some poskim say you should do it a month or so before him, give him time to think about it, and then ask him again at his bar mitzvah. Okay, that's all fair, right? Rav Wozner, in this Tshuva, says he doesn't think you have to tell him that you have to back out, that you can back out. He thinks that you could tell him just that, you know what, do you want to be Jewish? You don't want to be Jewish. The idea of giving him an option to back out, he doesn't think it's necessary. But Moshe Sternbach goes so far as to say like this: you're going to tell the kid you could back out? It's not realistic the kid could back out. Think about it. I'm a little 13-year-old punk, 12-year-old punkette, right? That's what I am. And you're going to tell me, oh, you don't have to be Jewish, you could back out. The kid's going to say, one second, I'm not Jewish, right? The only thing I got going for me is I have, you know, these two parents, they're Jewish people, I have a bedroom upstairs, I back out, I'm going to be out in the street. Right? What am I going to do? So, it's not a real option, what, you could back out. Come on, I can't back out. So Moshe Sternbach says, you know what the parents have to do? Parents have to go over to the kid, give him a big hug and kiss, say, "We love you, kid. You're great. And you should know that even if you decide you don't want to be Jewish, we're still going to raise you. We're still going to raise you." Because he says that you have to make the option real. I don't know if anyone, and you have to do this in front of a Beis Din, according to the Tosas. I don't know anyone who does this, no? I don't know anyone who does this.
Not in the middle of the whole thing.
Why?
So because if you assume that you need a real Kabbalah's Om Mitzvos, so the only way you have a real Kabbalah is if there's a real option the other way. Now, we once had a shaila in yeshiva years and years ago, the following case. Tell me what you think about this. There was a kid who was converted before his bar mitzvah. And the kid was, like sometimes adopted children are, very troubled. And the kid was getting involved in petty theft already before his bar mitzvah. And the question that came up, and I remember Rav Schechter dealing with a shaila at that time, the question was, maybe you should encourage the kid to back out of his Jewishness. Because, what, you're going to be a Jew, and then you're going to be a juvenile delinquent, right? It's better to be a guy and be a juvenile delinquent than to be a Jew and to be a juvenile delinquent. That was the argument. So Rav Schechter thought not like that. Rav Schechter said, he said, 1 second, think about it. The avera that this kid is doing is theft. Theft is more makel for Jews than it is for non-Jews. A non-Jew, right, like we mentioned earlier, right, any tiny amount that you steal, right, you're chayiv, and, right, but for a Jew, you need a full shear. You need to steal a shavaputa. So it's better to remain Jewish. That was Rav Schechter's argument. In other words, that the people involved shouldn't try to, I remember the shout, like, wow, oh my gosh, is there ever a case that you try to encourage a kid, that you see the kid before the bar mitzvah, you know, vayigdelu hana'arim, and you see Yaakov is going this way, Esau is going that, you say, maybe you don't want to be Jewish. Do we ever do that? I don't know. I've never heard of such a case. Yeah.
What happened to this kid?
Going back to the Jews at Mount
Sinai. He remained Jewish. Huh?
Yeah, like that is something that God held the Machlo and the biggest.
Yes.
So was that a process of Maskeiros, and how was that valid?
So the Gemara in Megillah, and Shabbos, the Gemara basically says that's why we have Purim. Hadar kibluha b'mei HaShveirosh. That there was a problem with our mass geirus at Har Sinai, b'kiyimu b'kiblu ha'yehudim. Right, that we accepted.
Purim, hundreds and hundreds of years later.
So that's an amazing thing, right? For hundreds and hundreds of years, we are in this quasi-Jewish state, and there's room to question whether we're really Jewish. That's what the Gemara assumes. Right, unbelievable. Okay, now, the last things to discuss over here, Higdilu Yichon Limchos, when you grow up, you can protest. There is a discussion in the Pesachei Tshuva from the Chassam Sofer about which type of Ger Katan can protest. There are two different types of Ger Katan. There's a Ger Katan who converts with his parents, and there's a Ger Katan who converts on his own, so to speak. Right? Can a Ger Katan who converts with his parents protest? So the Chassam Sofer entertains that you cannot protest if you're converting with your parents. The only time you can protest is if you convert on your own. So if you have a whole family that's converting to Judaism, the kid can't protest. That's what the Chassam Sofer develops.
Why not?
So apparently when you convert with the complete family, so then we know for sure it was a zechus. Because you are an intact family. You are staying as a group. The only time that there's a protest is... The Chassam Sofer says this. Now, the Chassam Sofer blames Rishonim in the Shita Mekubeses as saying this in the Lakutei Ha'aros and the Chassam Sofer. This is Chassam Sofer's generation on Gimel, Pesachei Tshuva, quote, Lakutei Ha'aros and the Chassam Sofer, they point out that there is no such Shita Mekubeses that he's quoting. The whole thing is very questionable, but the Chassam Sofer does say this. The conversion when the parents bring the kid is a different type of conversion than when the parents don't bring the kid. Yeah.
I read some article in families like from Appalachia and places like that, where the parents got interested in Yiddishkeit, and eventually they brought a whole bunch of the kids around. I really wonder what's going to happen to those kids when they grow up. Were the kids really with the program, or were they going along with it?
And it also depends how old the kids are, the types of the family situation. These are difficult cases to assess. Fine. The last point that's worth talking about is a very difficult Rambam. Right, we're mentioning that a ger katan, mapino sodas bez din, higdilu yichon limchos. By the way, the Rif never quotes this din, the higdilu yichon limchos. The Rif never quotes that when you become Bar Bas Mitzvah, whatever it means, like we spoke about, that you could protest. Why not? So one suggestion why the Rif doesn't quote is what we mentioned earlier, because maybe the concept of godless does not exist for Bnei Noach. Another suggestion is that the Rif holds that that part of the Gemara is rejected. Be it as it may, let's run the Rambam together. Last Rambam. Ben Noach, Shenisgayer, Umo v'taval. Let's say you have a guy who converts to Judaism. V'achakach ratzalachza me'acharei Hashem b'lo yosgir tosha b'uvad k'shahaya mikodem. You have someone who converts to Judaism, and then he decides that he wants to back out and to remain a ger toshav. Now, we have to explain what a ger toshav is. A ger toshav is a non-Jew who accepts on himself or herself to do the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And you make this acceptance in the presence of a Beis Din. That's what the Gemara sounds like. And a ger toshav has special halachos, including the basic halacha, the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, is that there's mitzvah l'hachayoso. You have a mitzvah to give tzedakah to a ger toshav, a mitzvah to keep them alive to the best of your ability. If you have a non-Jew who converted to Judaism, and then he decides he wants to back out and to remain a ger toshav like he used to be, ein shomen lo, you don't listen to him. Eliyah ki Yisrael l'chol davar o yehareg. You have a choice, either be Jewish or get killed. Very nice choice. It's your choice. Right? That's what the Rambam says. V'im haya katan, kehishet filuhu bezdin. Let's say you're a ger katan. Let's say you were before bar mitzvah when bezdin put you in the water. Yachol limchos b'sha'a sheyigdal or sheyagdil v'yiye ger toshav volvad. If you're a katan, and then you can protest, zuck the Rambam, you become just a plain old ger toshav. The kevan shalom micha b'shato shuvei no mocha etzerareihu keger tzedek. Now this is a tremendous Rambam, no? The Rambam is saying that when a ger katan decides to back out and say, in Yiddish, ich will nicht zu sein a yid. So you know, we tell him, you know what, sir? You're not Jewish anymore, but you're a ger toshav. You remain this category of someone who keeps Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. That category won't leave you. Now, this Rambam is worth $1 million, no? We have a principle, the Gemara in Erechin and Afchav Tes says, and the Rambam passes this way in Perek Yod of Avodah Zarah, that there's no such thing as ger toshav, b'zman hazeh. The concept of the ger toshav only exists when Yovel exists. We don't have Yovel anymore. We don't have Rov Yoshev HaAleha. The majority of Klal Yisrael doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael. So even if numerically it does, we're getting close, but the Rambam, Reb Chaim explains that the Rambam is saying that in order to be Rov Yoshev HaAleha, you also need representatives of all the Shvatim. We don't know if they're all there. We don't know what Sheva you're from. We don't have Rov Yoshev HaAleha. Great. Or not great, unfortunately. But the Gemara says there's no such thing as ger toshav today. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, there's no such thing as ger toshav today. But not so fast, homeboy. Don't do that. Because the Rambam says that if you're a ger katan, you back out, you remain a ger toshav. What else does he mean? Right.
Adult said, I changed my mind, I don't want to be a Jew.
I want to be a ger toshav.
So perhaps the child, similarly, is saying, when he becomes an adult, I don't like this idea of being a Jew. I never liked it.
But even if the child says he wants to be a ger toshav, we don't take ger toshavs
today. Well, not everything in the Rambam is
okay, so I could have learned the Rambam like you, and I would love to learn the Rambam like you. I think that's probably Pashup Shat in the Rambam. Notice this Rambam is speaking about at the time in history when they had ger toshavs. This happened. I think you're absolutely correct in the Rambam. The person who doesn't learn the Rambam like you is the Rosh Hashiva of Malei Adumim, Rav Nochum Rabinovich. No? Rav Nochum Rabinovich, actually, he was... He grew up with my father in Montreal and Tazen Kenner. They all grew up in Montreal together. They were students of Rav Hirschsprung. And he's now the Rosh Yeshiva Malei Adumim. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. A tremendous Talmud Chacham. What? He has a daughter, Muncie. Krakowski, correct. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He has a number of Svarim, and in all of his Svarim, in his Truvas Tziach Nochum and Simen Tzadi Gimel, this book is called Melumdei Mochama. These are his Truvas for soldiers in the Israeli army. He has a book, Yad Pshuta, on the Rambam, just simple explanations of the Rambam. Very, very good Svarim. He develops the idea. You know, one of the big questions that we have today is whether you're allowed to be Mechal al Shabbos, let's say as a doctor, for a non-Jew who falls ill. Technically speaking, as a matter of halacha, you can't be Mechal al Shabbos. You're only allowed to be Mechal al Shabbos for Jews, not for Goyim. Now, the Chassam Sofer already writes that we are Mechal al Shabbos Bizman Hazeh, because if you're not going to do it, there's going to be some article in the newspaper and a pogrom will happen. Mishum Eva. That's what Chassam Sofer has. The story goes that Professor Lieberman was once walking back. You heard the story? He's once walking back from JTS on Shabbos, and he's walking with the professor from Union Theological Seminary across the street.
Yeah, it was
and
the smart hour, Morton Smith.
And the professor turns to him and says, Professor Lieberman, if I would fall down now, and you would have to violate the Sabbath in order to keep me alive, would you do so? And Professor Lieberman says, yes, I would. And they said, Professor Lieberman, are you saying that as a matter of principle, or are you only saying that mishum eva? Are you only saying that because you're worried about how it will play in Peoria? So Professor Lieberman said, I'm saying that as a matter of principle. But apparently when he got home, he told his wife, das euchet habichuzach mishum eva. Now, that I should translate. I also said that because of eva. Meaning to say, the simple reason that we're Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews is because of Eva. Simple reason. And this became a big issue. Now, Noah Feldman wrote that article that to the Times Magazine section.
They clipped his wife out of the picture.
The whole issue. So one of the things that he was attacking Orthodox Judaism for was this halacha that you're not Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews technically. So it comes along with Nachum Rabinowitz, and in Melumdei Mochama Simen Mem Gimel, he has an innovative approach. He says, you know what? The Tosas Yeshanim writes in Yevamos, and there might be a Gemara in Krisos that says this, that a Ger Toshav has to keep Shabbos. Because Ger Toshav accepts Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Sheva mitzvot b'nei noach means that you won't serve avodah zarah. If you mechal Shabbos, you're like ovid avodah zarah. So therefore, ger toshav has to keep Shabbos. Once a ger toshav has to keep Shabbos, so you can be mechal Shabbos for a ger toshav. That's aleph beis. And then he says, and you know what? And today, the nations that we live among them are good, upstanding, moral, righteous people. They have the status of a ger toshav. He knows how to learn. The Gemara in Erechin says, we don't have Ger Toshav Bizman Hazeh, but the Rambam writes that we do. And therefore he says, Reb Nachum Rabinowitz, in this, right? And there's a Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Sefer Mechal Shabbos. Now, there might not be a Ramban, the Grut changes the gear, so it's like a whole pilpul that gets into, but the basic crux of his argument is that Shteit in Rambam, we have Ger Toshav today. Now, the Rambam says that over here. The Rambam also says we don't have Ger Toshav, and like David pointed out, right, it's more likely to read the Rambam that he's only talking about at a time when there is Ger Toshav. It seems to me like it's a great attempt to answer what is clearly an exceedingly difficult halacha, but I don't think it really...
What does Hatzalah do today?
I think Hatzalah, if they get a call, Hatzalah writes there... number in Hebrew letters because they don't want Goyim to call them. If they would get a call, I think they would go.
I've seen plenty of stickers with Hatzalah's number in Arabic number.
No, in Arabic numbers. I'm saying the word, I think Hatzalah's always...
Oh, the word Hatzalah.
I think in Crown Heights,
one of the things that led to the riot was this issue. I remember as a kid, there was an episode like this that came up in Far Rockaway, that Hatzalah got a call on Shabbos, and they actually took the call, and they took the fellow to the hospital. And then one of the Rashi Yeshiva in town decided to give a Musar Shmuz about how this wasn't a proper thing to do, and it made it to like one of the local newspapers, and it, exactly the way you would think it would play out is how it did play out, no?
Didn't that guy have any sense? That
I don't think so. This is like, again, it seems to me like we have to, I once gave a shiur about this topic here in this room, or in this former room before we redid it. It was one of the early shiur I gave here in the show like 5 years ago about this topic specifically, about the Mechal Shabbos like Nan B'nei Bris, but it's a very difficult issue. This is the most original approach I know to this issue, based on this one Rambam, that there is a concept of Ger Toshav. But by the way, even for the Rambam, there's only Ger Toshav in that one case. And by the way, I can also tell you, you know what the Pshat and the Rambam might be? Pshat and the Rambam might be that we're not Makabal Ger Toshav Bizman Hazeh. But if we already accept you as a Ger Tzedek, and then you back down, then you could become a Ger Toshav. But we're not Makabal you as a Ger Toshav. That's probably the Pshat and the Rambam. Again, Yesh. Yeah, last question.
If there are 10 lost tribes somewhere in the world, isn't there something that we use with it to do it?
So again, we would it's possible, but we would probably follow Rove. Rove is not Jewish. It could be that this guy really is Jewish. But as a matter of halacha, I can't assume that the guy is Jewish because, right, Rove indicates that you're not. Oh, too complicated. Okay.
Hey.
What?
I mean, what can Hatzalah do after that? Did they start getting...
I think technically speaking, if you get the call, you have to, especially Hatzalah, you get the call, I think you have to take it, because an individual doctor always has a way out. An individual doctor can, like, you know, on a personal basis, but once the ambulance gets a call, the AVA issue is much more real.
It's a private ambulance, so they refuse.
What?
It's a private ambulance.
They technically could refuse, but I... They're not allowed... But if they would refuse, you can just you could write the story yourself.
I'm not saying that right. They should, but they are
even. That is really like pointless hatred. I mean, to give a shear like that, I hope that's all. But I mean.